having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an officer. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth. Established very basic thing on Sunday. We said the things we are sharing is something that every billionaire and every successful person in the world knows. That was the first thing we said. It's not possible to be successful on the earth without understanding this principle of jumping. I would say the ideology is this, that life cannot just be gradual progress. We said, if you are going to really be successful and fulfill God's plans and purpose for your life, you must have a way of thinking. And part of that thinking, mental framework, is knowing that life cannot just be gradual progress. You move from 100 to 101 to 102. No. We said, you must understand that gradual progress is good, but must be interrupted by seasons of jumping and flying. Are you listening to me? So, a career, business, history, finance. There's a time to increase your income from 100,000 to 120 to 150. But there's a time to tell yourself, it's time to jump from 150 to 2 million. So we said it begins with the mind. There's a way of thinking. Because if it's not even in your mind, you can never experience it. Hallelujah. And I told you about an interview that was done challenging the way of thinking. Remember when they asked four persons about, okay, to take them to buy BMW. The doctor said it's going to take me 9 months of medical practice to buy a BMW. It's going to take me 9 to 12 months of my legal practice to buy a BMW. Amen. The engineer is going to take me about 1 to 2 years. Okay. No. About, let's say, 13 months or 19 months. Maybe I'll project it for you. Maybe next Sunday. To buy a BMW. Then they ask Mr. Ratantata. Mr. Tata said, it's going to take me 3 to 5 years to buy BMW. And they asked him, why so long? He said, because BMW is a big company. Now, the others were thinking about car. Then when you go back to the question actually did not say, how long will it take you to buy a BMW car? They say, how long will it take you to buy BMW? That was the question. But you see, by interpretation of their mental framework, they thought they were asking about buying a car. Because within the framework of their thinking, owning BMW as a company is not within the boundaries. Remember, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the boundaries of life. Meaning you can never do beyond the boundaries in your mind. Your mental framework creates the fence in which you live. Your way of thinking has constructed a fence already. A fence where you live and operate from. So every time question is asked, you answer based on the fence you are living in. Are you listening to me? But if the only thing you get from this teaching is to challenge your mental framework, I'm good, I'm fine. Because you can listen, anything that is too good for your mind is too good for your hand. If it has never crossed your mind, it can never cross your hand. If it ever crossed your hand accidentally, it would disappear accidentally. This is how God has programmed the universe to run. Are you still here this morning? So we began to challenge our thinking system. We began to challenge the way we see life. And I began to challenge us. It's beyond the teaching in church. You must make up your mind to leave your bed now. That's actually the problem. Because listen, in life you will get what you are looking for. If you are not looking for it, you can't get it. That's the truth. Until you are looking for it, you can't get it. You know, that's what we call reticular activating system in your brain. Or we call it, some people are broken down to personal recognition system, right? Meaning, you see, your brain receives or processes about 400 billion bits of information per second. But you are only aware of 2,000. And the one you are aware of is determined by what you have predominantly in your subconscious. Meaning, what comes to your awareness, to your conscious mind, is based on what is your subconscious. That's the truth. Let me give you two examples. Have you noticed that if your best friend bought a yellow car, for example, a yellow colored car, you know it's rare. In fact, before you saw him bring the car to you, also I bring the car to you, you can argue that no yellow cars in Jos. But that day, after seeing that car, I can bet you on the way to terminus, you will see all the yellow cars. Have you noticed that? Why? A yellow car was brought to your subconscious. You became mindful of the yellow car, such that in your environment, unconsciously, when your mind is processing per second that 400 billion bits of information, what comes to your awareness, that 2,000 that comes to your awareness, becomes what is registered in your subconscious. The interview example we gave, that also happened to the guy. It wasn't because he planned to answer that way. His subconscious just responded. When they asked the question, he thought about the company, not the car. There is no accident about it. He probably had been thinking the particular level before that day. So he didn't just answer, okay. No. Something came out of his subconscious. What you are looking for is what you will get. And that is scriptural. So you begin to challenge your mind. Burn off that thinking that progress must be gradual. Open your mind to the fact that they are glorious suddenlies of God. That you can move from 100,000 to 10 million. Yes! It's all true scriptures. Listen, the thing that makes for success and prosperity are inward. And this is why I'm teaching this. They are not on the outside. If it does not happen on the inside, it cannot happen on the outside. If your ideology is not right, it can never happen on the outside. If your way of thinking is not properly aligned, it can never happen on the outside. It may happen by chance, but it will disappear by chance also. Why? You don't know how it happened. And you cannot reproduce it. There's no confidence. And there's no assurance that it can. You listen to me. How did Joseph move from the prison to becoming prime minister? It was a response to his way of thinking. Oh, when they told him that the king was looking for him, read his action very carefully. He didn't act as though he was coming back to that prison. Hey, yeah. The moment they said the king was sending for him, the Bible says he shaved himself. He changed his garments. Why? He knew he wasn't coming back. And headed straight to the palace. And when he was done talking to the king, he said, "Oh king, the Lord will give you an answer of peace. 14-year agro-economic plan." When he was done, Pharaoh said, "No man as discreet as thou art. Come and be the head of these affairs." He knew. Glory to God. Your way of thinking has to change. The way you see life has to change. You have to deliberately break off from the background of lack, scarcity, poverty, deliberately breaking off. And that is the beginning of jumping and flying. You know that right now anything is possible. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Is somebody still here? All right, we base the teaching on lessons from two physical phenomena. We say skydiving and quantum physics, right? Amen. So that's where we got jump. It's time to fly from. Two physical phenomena. In Romans chapter 1 verse 20, you can put it up. Let's read it. Let me show you something. I'll just explain something to you so that you can be conscious of the environment. Listen. Wisdom comes by observation. Very important. There's a lot about the spirit realm you will learn through looking at things on the outside. There's a lot of wisdom of the kingdom you will learn by observing the lives of men or princes in the world. Is scriptural. What did the writer, what did Solomon say? He said, I passed by the field of the sluggard. It was overgrown. The walls were falling. He said, I considered it. Meaning I gave thoughts to it. And what followed? Wisdom came to me. Wisdom came to him. From Romans chapter 1 verse 20. He said, for the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Meaning we can look at the things that are made and understand the invisible things. When Jesus was teaching, a lot of his teachings in his earth walk, all right, that's Jesus of Nazareth, was around the things that can be seen. He used the things that can be seen to explain the invisible things of God. In Mark chapter 4, he talked about, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? He says, like unto a man who cast seed in the ground and went to sleep. He rises and wakes and rises, and the seed, the ground of herself, brings forth first the blade, the ear, and the full corn. He knoweth not how. Praise God. So he likened the kingdom of God to a seed. Meaning, what you see in the physical, you carry a seed and plants to produce fruits. And then you pluck the fruits. You harvest the fruit for eating, for commerce, whatever you use it for. He's saying there's a spiritual equivalent. Meaning you can sow invisible seeds and have invisible harvests that has impact on the physical world. Meaning physical things that are seen can be used to explain spiritual things. That's what I'm saying. Every physical pattern is a pointer to realities in the spirit realm. To God forevermore. Are you still with me? In quantum physics, we are told about an atom getting, a subatomic particle getting excited at jumping. Glory to God. In skydiving, you know, that's one of the most fascinating things in the world for me. People call it extreme sports, but it's very fun. Maybe one of these days I'll try skydiving. I like it. Amen. Lovely. You just get out of the airplane, or jump off the cliff, and start coming down. Just in the air, flying. And then at a particular point, you let go the parachute. It takes a lot of faith to do that. Glory to God. In fact, they call it extreme sports. Success is extreme sport. Malaga Baya. Are you listening to me? Fulfilling your destiny is extreme sport. Meaning there are seasons where you take steps that look extreme to people on the outside. Glory to God. Can we talk now? You take steps that look extreme to people on the outside. But in your heart, you know that you know that you know that this is what to do to move to the next level. Very important. If you are going to play safe and settle for the average, in fact, if you are going to play safe, you settle for the average. And settling for the average can never procure for you what God has on his mind for you. Never. 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 There has to be adventures of faith here and there. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. All right, so it says gradual, plain, safe progress must be interrupted by seasons of jumps, flight, for your destiny to be fulfilled. Amen. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we say the Greek, the Hebrew word there is shaha. It means to split open a gate or the opening of a gate. Meaning your thinking pattern affects what comes to your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. All right. So let's get into the work of the day. Jumping is a harvest. You know, when we talk about jumping and flying, it is a harvest to the seed of services, the seed of words of faith, the seed, all kinds of seeds you have sown over time. Meaning for someone who has not been sowing service, sowing words of faith, okay, sowing material seeds, sowing acts of service, you can't expect to jump. And I'm going to show you that from the scriptures. Very important. You know why this is important? Harvest is not automatic. Harvest. So somebody say, if it's a harvest, then it should be automatic. It's something that just hits me. No. Harvest is not automatic. In fact, have you noticed that sowing can even be automatic, but not sowing can be casual, but harvest cannot be casual. A bird of the air can carry a seed and just drop it off, and it starts growing. Yeah, glory to God. But harvest. In fact, sowing can be accidental. That's what I'm saying. But harvest is not accidental. A bird can go and drop the oranges somewhere, it grows. For the harvest of the orange, does the orange fruit meet you in your house? No. You either go to pluck or go to pick it up. Glory to God forevermore. So I say that for a reason. Quantum leap, jumping and flying is the harvest of your investment over the years. Investment in your mind, investment in your heart, investment of services. Very important. So when the harvest comes. Now, why is this important? I told you harvest is not automatic. Let me show you something. Quickly put up Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4 for me. Harvest is not automatic. It means there's a conscious effort for you to reap the harvest of your investment over the years. And if you don't step in to reap harvest, there's what decadence of harvest. Harvest can decay. Wild animals can take the harvest. If a pig can steal the harvest. Are you listening? We are laying foundation. Look at this. He that observes wind shall not sow. Meaning both intentional sowing and harvest have opposition. He said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. You think the reaping should be automatic. He said, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. We say taking a jump is a harvest. But there is a cloud that if you observe, you may not jump. The cloud may be your bank accounts. Yes, the cloud may be the class or degree you have. Yes, is somebody here? The cloud may be your background. The cloud may be what somebody has said to you in a way you think about yourself. Could be the cloud. He that observes the cloud shall not reap. He that observes the cloud shall not reap. Let me tell you something. I believe I mentioned it last week. Money does not exist. I'll keep saying this till you get it. Money only exists in the minds of the poor. Money was a creation of the rich to keep the poor poor. So the poor man just comes and he wants to do something. He doesn't have money. He goes back. He can't do it. He that observeth the cloud shall not reap. The rich guy enters town. He wants to do something. He doesn't have money. He collects the money from the poor. Does it. Makes the profits. Returns it to the poor. And goes away. You know, I don't know how many of you watched that interview. The first one that, what's this? Wasn't the one with Stephen Furtick. Probably was the one at Global Leadership Summit of TD Jakes when Harvey got into the movie industry. He said he had this idea, and then one chap from Hollywood came and said, yeah, Bishop, let's make movies. Let's make them into movies. He said, but I don't have money. He said, we'll get the monies. That was him with great idea thinking about money. when he thought about going to Hollywood, he was intimidated by the money. He was a preacher. Then this young chap that probably didn't have as much faith in quotes, has not prayed as much as Bishop Jakes. He had the way of thinking. He said, there's money in the world. When you want to do things, you get the money and do it. Am I talking to someone? He said, we'll get the money and get it done. He that observes the cloud shall not reap. Brothers and sisters, nothing is against you. Absolutely nothing is against you. Your limitations are unreal. Your limitations are unreal. Somebody is saying, I have not started that business because it's just 3 million. I'm saying it's not true. The day you decide to start, you will start. If it's burning in your heart, if it's something that resonates with your spirit, and that's part of the thing I'll discuss probably in the second service. Jumping is not a leap in the dark. Jumping is not a leap on assumption. No, there's a light in your spirit. There's a clarity in your spirit that this is what I want. You are not trying to do something to please anybody. You are not trying to copy someone. You are not trying to impress nobody. It's something that resonates in your heart. It is the kingdom within you. It's the kingdom within you. Have you noticed that even in quantum physics, before the subatomic particles jump, they are excited? So that thing you are talking about, does it get you excited? Or you want to do it to please someone? Oh, I'm talking this morning. If it's coming from your heart, it will excite you. But if you are trying to please someone, to prove a point, you'll be thinking about someone else. So for you to really jump, it must be something that is coming from your inside. That has nothing to do with trying to make somebody happy or trying to prove a point to somebody. But it is the kingdom within you. By configuration, this is you and this is your opportunity. That's what a jump is. Are we getting clarity? It has nothing to do, okay, now I want to make 10 million so that by December, I can take that car to the village. They'll know that my father too is not a poor man. You are wasting your time. There must be an excitement. The subatomic, they are excited. You know, there are things in your heart that when you think about them, they get you excited. Even when you don't have the means, the pathway is not clear yet, you don't have the money in your hand, but you know this is what you want. That's an indication that you have to jump. Glory to God. Are you still here? There's that excitement. They say they get excited. They put it, they get, then they jump. It must be coming from your heart. I told you, you are not in anybody's class. Nobody's in your class. When God created you, he put you in a class of your own. You are in your own class. Only you. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. Amen. Life, never forget that. The classroom is for only you. You are in a class all by yourself. Even if you are born as an identical twin, your twin sister is not in the same class as you. Glory to God. So this thing is a response from your heart. A leap on light in your spirit. You are not assuming. You know in your heart, and you know that you know that you know, that this is the next big step, and then this opportunity is yours. Glory to God. Is somebody say with me? Very important. Extremely important. It's a response that you know that is your opportunity. All right, back to the first thing I was saying. I talked about the quantum leap being a harvest. He said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that observeth the cloud shall not reap. It means, or maybe I should say this before I go, before I visit that. Listen, jumping is not something you assume. We have said that. Jumping is not something you force happen. Jumping is something you do. When the light has shone in your heart, number one, It gets you excited. And number two, when the opportunity has presented itself. Are you following me? So it's actually about maximizing opportune time. And having a mind that thinks properly, getting your ideology right, and having an eyes that sees the opportunity. That's what it is. It just comes to you. I remember I told you, the beginning point is a seed of greatness you sow in your heart. The beginning point is the investment of service, the investment of words of faith. Listen, if you cannot speak it boldly, you cannot have it. So you are trying to do something that you cannot even speak it boldly, meaning your heart has not taken it. You will speak and speak and speak, speak it privately until your heart is comfortable with it. You know, there are things your mouth says that your heart is not comfortable with it. I'm going to make 10 million. Then somewhere in your heart, you are not comfortable. Listen, 3 months time, 20 million. Your heart is not comfortable. I'll marry in 3 months. Your heart is not comfortable. You see, it's not, I'm not talking about fears in your mind. You can have fear in your mind and peace in your heart. Are you aware? Once God is involved and is your opportunity, there's an overwhelming sense of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that is the kingdom of God. So if it's the kingdom of God that is within you, getting you excited to live, there's an overwhelming sense of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. A major way to arrive there is by speaking. You are saying it. You are talking about that big thing. You are saying it until your heart is comfortable with it. And the moment your heart is comfortable, remember, your heart has been programmed to produce for you what it has experienced. The moment your heart is comfortable with it, it can be a public confession. You say it publicly. It just comes out of your mouth. Listen, there's something about this, you know, we have done teachings on confessions and all that. It's not joko. There's something about consistently sowing the seed of the word of God in your heart. Sowing the seed of the visions of God deliberately through your mouth. There's something about it. You keep saying it. You think it's joke when I see all the time that will break upon the nations like a rushing mighty wind with the word of the Lord and the anointing of God's Spirit. We say that's what is going to happen. That's what is going to happen. I'm a world-changing champion. The world is my parish. I've been saying it for years. My heart is comfortable with it. Oh, I'll have so much money, the world will have to pay attention. My heart is comfortable with it. Are you listening? The days are coming when I will not know how much I have. Because of the abundance of the wealth and prosperity, my heart is comfortable with it. Those talks are not joke. I mean, some of you know about this, but it was said that he's a Liverpool captain years ago, or with his father in the final when Liverpool lost a European Cup or so. He told his dad, he says, "Dad, I will win this cup for you." And it happened. It happened. The call of the soul. You see a young man in school saying, "I'll be a millionaire before I'm 30. And he says, you know, until his heart is comfortable with it, until he becomes a public confession. I know someone like that. It will happen. It will happen. It will happen. Now, he kept saying that, and then opportunities will be presented. You say it, you keep it in your heart. Your eyes are seeing it. You say it, you keep it in your heart. You incubate it. Your eyes, your inner eyes are seeing it. In no time, opportunity will be presented. You'll be on your own when the opportunity will come. See, there's something about saying it and incubating it. You are not going to force the opportunity. You'll be there to come. The same thing with negative people. If somebody wants to destroy you, you have to know better. If not, they will destroy you. Listen, it was said that in 1993, some Islamic terrorists drove a truck into the World Center. I don't know how many of you are aware of that. But it did not explode. That was 93. And then they took their head in an helicopter, blindfolded him, took him to the World Trade Center, took off the blindfold and said, you see, he's still standing. You try to do this and it never happened. It will never happen. He looked at them and smiled. He said, one day we'll bring this thing down. Are you listening? 9-8 years later, they did it. Herodias was angry at John the Baptist, but there was no opportunity. Do you know she did not create anything? Her daughter went to dance, and the king said, ask for anything. Are you here? When you have been saying something and incubating in your heart, the opportunity will come. This teaching is to position you to take advantage of the opportunity. Because sometimes when the opportunity comes, you may be afraid, you may not be courageous. I mean, you may be afraid, you may not have the money, you may not have the connection, but your heart knows, this is what I've been waiting for. Your heart knows, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. Is somebody getting blessed this morning? This is what I've been waiting for. You will know it. Listen, the Bible talks about time and chance. Put it up for me. That should be Ecclesiastes chapter 11, right? When he said the race is not to the swift, battle to the strong. Put it up for me. I will search it. It's in Ecclesiastes. There's a verse 11 involved. There's verse 11, but who has seen it? He said, I return. Yes, 9:11. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. You know, he's talking about five levels of wisdom. Swiftness, strength. The word strength, that means courage. Swiftness. Listen, he's not playing down on these five things. I'm going to do a teaching on this. But to show you the five levels of wealth, five levels of prosperity locked up in this place. He said the race is not to the swift. Swiftness is important. It's not playing down on it. Are you listening? So he talks about swiftness, that speed in getting things, courage, wisdom. What's the next thing? Understanding. What's the last thing? Skill. So he said the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, neither bread to those that are wise, yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Oh, let them not go ahead of myself. Well, I'm going to teach you from this verse. Oh, Rabbi. You know, when people read it, I say, it's not about being swift. It's not about, what's the next thing? Being strong. It's not about being wise. It's not about having understanding. It's not about having skill. You don't understand the scriptures. That's not what he's saying. He's showing you what to superimpose to maximize these five things. Oh. That's what he's showing you. He says time and chance happens to them all. His time and chance happens to them all. Meaning, when you have these things in place, the coordinate of time and chance will have to favor you. Meaning, understanding how to take advantage of opportune time. That's what he's saying. How to take advantage of opportune time. People that are successful will tell you this. I had somebody recently, I said, what if we do not move into this place when we did? My mind cannot even think about it. Or what if we do not start ministry when we... Listen, we started this church, started the local church against all odds. All odds. But I knew it was time to start. We moved here against all odds. Went on radio, went on TV. Listen, you have to learn to do it afraid, in quotes. This is how you break into real estate against all odds. You don't wait. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll pause for second service. Have you been blessed? Speak in tongues. Malagabaladabo soshoto. Mondo soshte brendo soshto prekapo soshoto. Kendo ko prekapo soshoto. Rabadalado soshoto ko prekapo soshoto ko prekapo soshoto ko prekapo. Indala de brendo soshto prekapo soshoto. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated briefly. Hallelujah. I'll just say a few things about the outpouring and then I'll leave. Just my time is up. Hallelujah. Who has not heard about the outpouring? Let me see your hand. Today, you're not around when CIU had their presentation. Okay, the outpouring is our annual citywide meeting. Okay, it's 2 days of revival, charismatic renewal. Amen. And of course, upward shifts. Every time there's an outpouring, what follows is an ingathering. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what it is. We'll be using a tent on Apollo Crescent, Usuju World Event Center, and we'll have canopies outside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. There are times when the Spirit of God calls for a meeting. This is one of those times. And what would our response to it is very important. Till Jesus returns, anything that God wants to do on the earth will always be a partnership between God and His people. Are we listening? Very important. The Spirit of God has said we shall have outpouring this year. Everybody must participate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must participate in publishing the word at this scale. We're calling the city. There's a difference between preaching to an individual, preaching to family, and talking to the city. We're going to send a letter to the governor to be around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And traditional rulers and all that to be around. You know, last year the governor sent a representative also. I remember on the second day also. Glory to God. We want him to be around. We're calling the city to the power of God, to the word of God, to preach to them. That's what we're doing. The psalmist says, the Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those that published it. Put it up, Psalm 68, verse 11, popular scripture. We'll read and put it up. He said, the Lord gave a word. Great was the company of those that published it. Look at this. Great was the company of those that published it. Meaning God cannot give the word and publish it at the same time. He will always partner with people. Are you here? He will always partner with people. Give me Luke chapter 5 from verse 5 to 8. A very interesting story about Jesus and Peter, the Pope. Look at this. At this point, he was a fisherman. I want to look at this because I want everybody, member of church, friend of church, partner of church, to be a part of this meeting in the four different ways. We talk about four different ways of participation. Everybody, you are not going to do three and leave one.
Amen. Look at this. And Simon answering said, go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1 very quickly. And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Next verse, that's Jesus. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Next verse. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Now this Jesus, Son of the living God, he was doing ministry. Are we together this morning? He wanted to preach to more people. He needed a platform. So he had to take Simon's ship so he can go. He told Simon, just go into the... You know what he was doing? He can be a little distant so that the waves of the sea can carry his voice. That was what he was doing. But you see, he needed a man's ship. And he sat down and he entered into one which was Simon's and prayed him. Jesus prayed Simon. Prayed, that means asked him. And asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught people out of the ship. Partnership. Partnership. God partnering with man. Next verse. Now when he had left speaking, when he was done. Meaning, you cannot partner with God and God leaves you the same way he left you. It's not possible. You know, as I'm saying this, some will hear and respond. I'm praying that everybody will respond. Some may not. But you see, in the process of time, there will be a difference. God is not a fool. You don't partner with him and he leaves you the same. Now, how come Jesus did not leave us? Okay, bye-bye, God will bless you. No. Look at this. Now, when he was done, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Meaning, you gave me platform. What we are doing is we are giving the Holy Spirit platform through the outpouring. That's what we're doing. Platform to heal the sick. Platform to reach the city. Platform to stay a revival fire across the city of Jos and the middle belt. That's what we're doing. This is why you must participate. Are you still here? Look at this. Launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, for a draw. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Oh, not after partnering. Hey, yeah. Not after giving Jesus a platform. Are you guys here this morning? Please keep that sad look off your face and be excited. Are you with me? Please don't annoy me this morning. Glory to God. Why are you not looking happy? He's a master. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy words, I will let down the net. In fact, Jesus told him nets in plural. His heart could not carry it. He let down a net. But look at what happened. Suddenly, it was as though all the fishes in Galilee that day, in the lake of Gennesaret, heard the word of Jesus and began to move. They said, guys, we are going to where Peter is. That is why somebody, after partnering with the Holy Ghost in the outpouring, all the monies in town, monies you have been looking for. Hey, am I talking to someone? Monies, opportunities, things you have been looking for. He said, we have called all night. You know, it's November. Somebody say, and God will tell you, do this. I say, Lord, throughout this year, I've tried to do this. It didn't work. He said, do it. Not after this one. This is a scripture God gave me for partnership for the outpouring. Hallelujah. I and my household, we are going to put our best into the outpouring. He said, look at what happened. And when they had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And they are, net breaking harvest. Their nets broke. Next verse. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they will come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sing. Listen, this was something very unusual. Something very unusual. Next verse. When Simon saw it, if it was a usual kind of fishing, he wouldn't have been impressed. No, I've had this kind of, but this was unusual. What happened? He fell on his feet On at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. Next verse. Oh, glory to God. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught, at the catch of the fishes which they had taken. Next verse. Oh, and so was son of Zebedee, and they left everything. He said, from now on you shall catch men. And they left everything and followed him. Hallelujah. Sit down. Listen, the outpouring is about giving the Holy Spirit a platform, giving Jesus a platform. Give him your boots. And a boat I want you to give him is in four ways. Number one, your prayers. Very important. Amen. We're going to have 40 days fasting and prayer. Glory. Amen. Are you here? Oh, the city is taken. The territory is taken. We're going to have 40 days fasting and prayer. Please, oh, for the whole church, member, friend of ministry, whatever class you think you belong to. Amen. We're going to have 40 days fasting and prayer. Beginning from 1st of October to 9th. Is it 9th of November now? Either 9th or 10th of November. Amen. Even if it's still 2 p.m., you can do it. Do it. You see, not just for the outpouring, it will do something to you. That's the first way you are going to give him platform. Prayer. What did he say? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What did he say? Pray ye therefore the God of the harvest. That means we have a part to play in reaping the harvest, in giving Jesus what he died for. That's the number one, prayer. Number two, giving. Giving. We're going to spend millions for that citywide crusade. Giving. Giving. Give like a mad person for the outpouring. Are you listening?
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.